2. Trust is the foundation. To be trusted is a greater compliment than to be loved. George MacDonald. Your dog's first lesson is actually not a lesson at all. The first step in the training process has very little to do with you commanding or your dog obeying. The first step is all about trust. Without this essential element in your relationship with your dog, you cannot be an effective trainer. The assumption that trust and bonding are critical keys to training is at the heart of everything I believe about working with dogs. So many approaches to training are based primarily on dominance, but that philosophy doesn't work for me. And it especially doesn't work for the dogs I rescue from shelters. At best, these animals have been lost, neglected, or locked up for reasons they can't begin to understand. At worst, they've been abandoned or physically abused. One way or another, they've all been given good reasons to be suspicious and guarded with their trust. The last thing they need is another person in their lives who can't be relied on to be predictable, patient, and kind. I begin every relationship with a new dog by making sure it's clear I can be counted on to be all those things. I often get asked if this approach undermines me as a leader in the dog's eyes, and the simple answer is absolutely not. There's no rule that says you have to dominate to lead. In all honesty, there's a time and place for dominance in training, and that's when you're working with an aggressive dog. But we're not training aggressive or dominant animals here, so we're not going to be aggressive and dominant ourselves. Our goal is to build a bond and teach basic obedience, and we want our dogs to do those things out of love, not fear. There's a good comparison here to the way people look for leadership. Think about the ways you relate and respond to people in leadership roles in your own life, whether they're family, mentors, bosses, colleagues, or teachers. I'd be willing to bet that the best of those relationships are built on trust and get regularly reinforced through bonding. Let's look at it this way. At its essence, training is teaching. Only our pupils are animals instead of children. What kind of teacher is the most effective? It's not a teacher you're afraid of, or a teacher you dislike, or one you wish you could walk away from or dominate. There's always a hard line between ineffective instructors and their pupils. And dogs are wary of teachers like that, too. The most effective teacher is the one who's knowledgeable, fair, and engaged. Someone who inspires respect and cooperation rather than demands it. That teacher cares about the students, and the students know it. I firmly believe that same logic applies to a dog's relationship with a trainer. A dog needs to be able to trust you and feel close to you to be truly trainable. Otherwise, you'll spend a lot of your time trying to compel your dog to do what you want instead of working with a willing partner. Compulsion training only works when you're dealing with highly dominant or aggressive dogs. Using compulsion while training obedience isn't recommended because you're replacing your dog's eagerness to want to do what you ask with the notion that he must do it. Why bother forcing something that doesn't require any pressure? It's like the difference between being a warden and being a teacher. Either way, you can get results, but why would you want to be the warden if you don't have to? If you have a puppy or a newly adopted dog, establishing trust before you start training is absolutely essential. If your dog is shy or lacks confidence, working on trust will help with that too. But even if you've had your dog for years and feel ready to start training, the tips in this chapter can help you deepen and strengthen your relationship. You'll be rewarded when your dog answers your efforts by giving 100% and then some during training.